Welcome to the Medical Journal of Australia podcast. The MJA is Australia's top peer-reviewed general medical journal, publishing groundbreaking research to the medical community since 1914. My name is Kate Swanell, and I am the MJA's news and online editor. Out-of-pocket expenses are in the news once again, thanks to a recent Four Corners expose. It's timely then that the MJA has published research today looking at the out-of-pocket costs for Queensland cancer patients. Lead author, Associate Professor Louisa Gordon, is a health economist at the QIMR Berghofer Medical Research Institute, and she is my guest on the pod today. So, welcome to the podcast. This research is really topical given the conversations that have been happening in the mainstream media about costs and surgical fees and things like that. Why did you decide this research needed doing?
So we've heard from previous reports and research studies and a lot of anecdotal evidence that some people with cancer can face very high out-of-pocket costs. So we thought it's a very important issue. But a lot of those reports are not population-based, and so they don't capture a broad cross-section of the population.
And so
people that are more invested in the subject or have particularly high costs are more likely to come forward and talk about those costs.
Yes.
But we had the opportunity to look at a data set that is population-based here in Queensland. And so we could select out the patients in that data set that had cancer, and we could link that to the Medicare data. And then we could analyse that data. So there was no onus on the patient telling us their stories.
Right.
It was really looking at the administrative data on a broad cross-section of Queenslanders.
So that eliminates that self-selection worry that other studies have had. So
yeah, exactly.
Tell us about the methodology in more detail and the kind of participants you ended up with and the numbers.
So we used data from a large population-based study in Queensland called the Q-Skin study, and this has 43,000 participants in it. And we have linkages to the Queensland Cancer Registry for that data and also Medicare Australia. So we've got data on MBS and PBS records. So we were able to identify 452 participants from Q-Skin that had a primary diagnosis of one of the five major cancers in Australia, and we had data on those participants for at least 2 years from their diagnosis. We were able to look at their billings through Medicare and the PBS for at least 2 years.
And what were your major results?
Firstly, the results over 2 years, we found a very wide range of out-of-pocket expenses. It was very skewed. We had a small proportion with very high costs, but a lot of people had, you know, much smaller costs. And what we had was the median charges by providers, so the 50th percentile, was $9,800, and up to three quarters of patients were charged around $20,000 for their cancer over 2 years. And the out-of-pocket costs, the median cost for patients was about $1,800.
Mm-hmm.
It was highest for breast cancer at around $4,100.
Yes.
And lowest for lung cancer at around $1,100.
It's interesting to me that the lung cancer was the highest for total provider fees, but
yes,
amongst the lowest for median out-of-pocket costs. Is that surprising to you or...?
Perhaps not, because lung cancer has a very poor survival. 2 years, there's less than 30% survival for patients with lung cancer. So they may have had a lot of healthcare towards the end of their life, and their out-of-pocket costs may have been, you know, relatively lower.
Did any of the results surprise you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, we expected to have a range of results, and we certainly did get some very high-end out-of-pocket costs. So, for example, we had one gentleman with prostate cancer, and his out-of-pocket costs were $23,000. Well, it was broken down into the surgery, which was around $14,000, doctor's visits around $3,000, diagnostic imaging around $1,600, pathology $1,500, medications around $2,000. So these, you know, that's at the extreme. But then we had some patients with, you know, just a few hundred dollars in the whole of the 2 years, which is, you know, at the other end.
Was there a large variation within one disease? For example, was prostate cancer particularly expensive?
No, I think there was, I mean, actually prostate cancer, breast cancer, and colorectal cancer all had quite similar median costs.
Okay.
And I think there was certainly a range within each cancer, a wide range.
I'm chatting today with Associate Professor Louisa Gordon from QIMR Berghofer Medical Research Institute, and we're talking about out-of-pocket costs. Louisa's research can be found at mja.com.au, where it is open access. That seems to be problematic, because are patients able to predict what their treatment is going to cost out-of-pocket?
It's really difficult, because they have to have conversations with all of their healthcare providers, and that's the challenge, because they may not actually meet the anaesthetist or the assistant surgeon during their visits initially.
Yes.
with health professionals, and they may not know what they're going to need after surgery, if they need, you know, physiotherapy or chiropractic or whatever they may need. It's going to happen over time, and it's certainly really difficult to predict what the costs are going to be. And they also have to understand how the system works. They've got to navigate quite a complex pathway. They've got to see lots of different healthcare professionals. So all of these costs, you know, add up. You know, they may not be very high in any one particular cost, but a few thousand dollars here, $100 here, $300 here over time can really add up for people.
The question of fees surgeons charge is in the news a lot at the moment. Do you see greater transparency and perhaps greater regulation of those surgical fees in particular, but other things as well? Is that a solution to this?
I think it will certainly help. I think professional groups do have a responsibility to contain, you know, really high fee charging, perhaps even publish what they think is a reasonable fee. Any kind of increased transparency is going to help patients understand what they might be in for. So I do think that will help. I think patients, unfortunately, the onus is on patients to have that conversation with their doctors and their insurers, so that they can really fully understand what they might be charged, and also given the option to go to public hospital where they may not need to pay anything. I mean, that really is a good option. And I think also on a broader scale, you know, the private health insurance market is just, it's really failing people. You know, people are not getting good value for care, and the government is, you know, continuing to prop it up with the 30% subsidy. You know, the government just maybe needs to face the fact that the evidence is that it's a costly system, and really they should maybe think about shrinking the private health insurance market and putting that money back into the public hospital system.
If you could wave a magic wand, what would you do first?
That's a hard one. Yeah, I would advise patients to go and certainly have those conversations with their doctors and insurers.
Yep.
I think professional groups need to be more responsible and to be more transparent with their fee charging. And I think the government needs to really look at this and understand how much the system is not working, and it seems to be getting worse. People that have private health insurance and are going through the private health system, it's not helping the public system. People are still privately insured and going to the public system because they can't afford the private system. So
yes,
it really doesn't work very well. I think that's, you know, the unfairness of it is that, you know, I've previous research I've done with men with prostate cancer is that you might be 70 years old and have had private health insurance for 30 years and then you face a cancer like prostate cancer and then you're out of pocket $10,000. It just seems so unfair. The study does have limitations.
Okay.
We are not including all of the out-of-pocket costs that patients face. So those are things like over-the-counter medicine, travel, accommodation, parking. I mean, people do report that these costs do also add to their burden. It doesn't include any services that are not listed on the MBS. So those funds that are not listed. So if there's new tests or new procedures that doctors might want to do that aren't listed,
yes,
those won't be included. And also, we do have, the sample is 74% privately insured. So in fact, we do have a more privately insured group of patients. It's a bit higher than the general population. And also, it's a Queensland study, so fees might be lower or different than the southern states. we have recently had a report on women with breast cancer in Australia. So that report was involved nearly 2,000 women with breast cancer, and they found that women, about three quarters of the women, were paying up to $17,000 in out-of-pocket costs at 5 years after diagnosis. So I think our findings do fit in quite well with other studies.
Terrific, Louisa. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Thank you.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.